Good morning. Now I'm ready. Number 497. Number 497, more abundantly. The old folks will know it, and the young kids are going to learn it. More abundantly. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you his disciples? Test his word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundance. Matchless favor, magnify the name. Love our gracious Savior, who from glory came. Let the saints adore him for this wondrous word. Sealing our redemption to the crimson flood. Bring your vessels, not a few. Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? The promise of the Father come according to his word in the blessed old time way. He will fill your heart today and overflow. As the Lord commanded to bring your vessels out of you, he will
you live for Jesus? Be always pure and good. I hope I didn't get too many oldies here. I see some smiles over to my right here. Usually they just go ahead. Would you live for Jesus? Be always pure. I don't think I know it either. I didn't do that very good. Do that again. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. This blood can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His blood can fill your soul and make you see. What's best for Him to have His way with thee? Let's try the last one, shall we? Would you in His kingdom find the place of constant rest? Would you prove and through in providential test? Would you be in His service, labor always at your best? Let Him have His way. Pastor, will you come?
He caught me.
I love the Lord today. One day I came to Him. I was so thirsty. I asked for water. My throat was so dry. He gave me water that I never dreamed of. For that water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In His great thirst, He brought water to me. Now there's a river, it flows as clear as crystal. It flows from God's throne above. And like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life's giving love. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In His great thirst, He brought water to me. In His great thirst, He brought water to me. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to an old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bears. Then he'll take me someday to my home far away, and forever. Forever I'll, and forever I'll, glory, forever his glory I'll share, there it is, and I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to an old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Does everybody want to help me sing this last chorus again? I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to an old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thanks, Bill. I feel for you. One time, a lot of years ago, when Pastor Sizer pastored this congregation, a little church down there, he was a friend of mine, and I went to another church, and I was going to sing a solo part with the choir on television, and so naturally, I didn't want to be singing along. I wanted to kind of save my voice and clear my voice and so on, but I wasn't singing at all. And so the director pointed at me for my solo part, and I went, oh, just like that. Just the awfulest noise you ever heard on a microphone. And I saw Brother Sizer. You know, I could have ducked him for a month, but I saw him the next day, and he walked up to me on the street, and he said, put a pin in your balloon, didn't it? And I didn't tell him, but he really put a pin in my balloon, because how humiliated can you get? Now, this wasn't bad at all. I could go on and tell you some more stories. I won't. A couple of weeks ago, we sang a song and had fun with it. Sister Debbie requested it, and we're going to do it again, number 292. I held it up and showed it to the pastor, and he smiled. Approval, I guess. Wonderful grace of Jesus. I hadn't sang that song, just like the rest of them that you hadn't sang. I couldn't remember it. But when we began to sing it, It was great. And everybody sang, stand with me, will you?
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue be striving? Where shall the praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
Number 367. You don't have that on your list, but you played it a while ago. Number 367.
Thank you.
Upon Jesus. Let's sing that chorus this morning. Hallelujah.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look
for in His wonderful faith.
quiet ourselves before Him, as we listen for Him to speak to us, as we focus our eyes upon Him today. You may be seated. Thank you, ladies. Children's church is dismissed. Ages 2 through 5 can go to children's church. Forgot to mention the WM meeting is Tuesday night at the Parsonage at 7 o'clock. Women's ministry is Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the Parsonage. All the ladies are invited to attend. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. We'll pick it up with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is not mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abram believed in the Lord, and God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. The title of the message today is simply, Look. We take that from verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Father, we ask your blessing and your anointing upon your word as it goes forth today. May it not only be anointed from my lips, but may it be anointed in each heart. Through the power and ministry of your Holy Spirit here today, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So many times it helps us to simply look. God told Abraham to count, to look and to count. Count the number of stars in the sky. You ever done that? You ever went laid out at night or something under the stars or sat out there and tried to count the number of the stars in the sky? Well, they are innumerable. Counting tires a person. That's why they tell you to count sheep if you can't sleep. It's supposed to make you tired. It can numb the senses. Sometimes we demand God, demand to count, and God suggests that we begin. And suddenly we are stunned by the enormity of the task. It comes to the point where we have to quit counting and exercise another faculty, and that is faith. There's a point where you have to quit counting and start trusting. God's answers are always bigger than any question or human problem. The possibilities are always there, as well as the problems. We tend to look at the problems, but we need to see beyond the problems and see the possibilities. Look. And take number of those possibilities. Look and count. Consider George Washington Carver. My son Joshua thought I should put this in as a quiz here today, a multiple choice, because I was quizzing them to see what they remembered about George Washington Carver. So I'm going to give you a quiz this morning. George Washington Carver, it's a multiple choice question. Okay? He was A, a president. He was B, a scientist. Or he was C, a preacher. How many of you think you know the right answer? A few of you. A few history buffs, not too many. If you are absolutely sure you know the answer, let's hear it. Well, I guess you could say B and C. You'd stretch it to say he was president, but he was not really a preacher either. Technically, he was a scientist. Technically, he was a scientist. So the correct answer is B. In his divine, and he realized his need for divine wisdom, and he cried out to God. And this is his story. A very interesting man. He said, "Years ago, I went into my laboratory and said, 'Dear Creator, please tell me what the universe was made for.' Said the Creator, 'You want to know too much for such a little mind as yours. Ask for something your size.' Then I asked, 'Dear Creator, tell me what man was made for.' Again, the Creator replied, 'Little one, you are asking too much. Bring down the extent of your quest. Tell me then, Creator, what the peanut was made for.' Then the Creator taught me how to take the peanut apart and put it together again. And out of this came all these products that the Creator taught me to make." You know, in all, Mr. Carver discovered over 300 uses for the peanut. The possibilities are always there. Yes, the problems are there, but the possibilities are also there. Look at the peanut. Look at George Washington Carver, one of the nation's most famous, most talented, and most honored blacks did. He looked at the peanut for a lifetime. And all through his life, he discovered new ways to use the peanuts. You know, George Washington Carver was also one of the first people ever to eat a tomato. People thought they were poisonous. And so he came to his class one day with a tomato. And his student said, "Professor, you're not going to eat that in front of us, are you?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I am." He took a big bite out of the tomato, and he ate the tomato in front of his students. His students all waited for him to drop over dead. Of course, he never did. Then another time, he invented his own toothpaste formula. And he brushed his teeth, and he came out, and his teeth were all white, and he still had the toothpaste there on his lips, and they thought he was rabid. There's a very interesting man who saw possibilities with things. And God was able to bless him, and God was able to use him because he looked at the possibilities. Now, what are you going to look at today? I want to suggest some things that the Bible tells us that we can look at, and we can look to. The first one is to look heavenward. Look now toward heaven. God told Abraham. Now, in Woodbury, there's a sporting goods store that's called Galleons. You ever been there? We like to go there to climb the wall. They have this wall there in the sporting goods store that you can go and you can climb. They put a rope on you. They put a harness on you. It's completely safe. Almost all of our children have attempted to climb the wall. Notice I said children. Some of them, most of them that have climbed it have made it to the top. Others have not. I remember one particular time we were there when I think everyone from Rachel on up made it to the top of this wall. And after Rachel had climbed this wall, there was a young man there, probably 30 years old. And he was trying to climb the wall. And he got so far up on the wall, and he looked down, and he said, "Bring me down." He couldn't make it the rest of the way. He couldn't climb the rest of the wall. And when that poor guy got down, I felt so sorry for him. His wife was saying to him, "Look at that little girl. She climbed the wall."
You couldn't make it up that wall. But you know what I discovered? I discovered that those that made it to the top didn't look down. They looked heavenward. And as you climb in your life and as you climb in your Christian faith, the look is to be heavenward. You'll never make it to the top. You'll never take it as far as your faith wants you to go if you look earthward. But if you look heavenward, you can make it. You can make it. Your faith will climb as you look heavenward. Look and try to count. Take a measured look at the Bible. Here's a staggering thought. Think about this thought. The mind that created the universe wrote the Bible. What an incredible mind God has. The mind that created this universe that we can't even possibly see to its fullest extent wrote these words. You know, in a lifetime of study, you will not know everything there is to know about God or the Bible. We were just talking about that. I believe it was yesterday. I said, the more I know about the Bible, the more I realize I don't know as much as I thought I did. You can never learn all that there is to know about God's eternal word and about God himself. In a lifetime of study, you will not know everything there is to know. No one can reduce God to a simple package. Trust him. That's what it comes down to. This is in Sunday school today. It comes down to trusting him and believe his provision is big enough and secure enough for you. Don't live in fear. Live by faith. Look heavenward. Look heavenward today and see how big God is. Some of you are here. You have problems this morning. There is situations in your life that are too big for you. What you need to do is not look at those things. You need to look and see how big God is. Count the stars. Consider the vastness of the universe. The nearest star is 4.3 years away, traveling at the speed of light. That's 186,000 miles per second. Experts tell us that there are over 50,000 stars. Try to count them. And here's the amazing thing of all. God filled the heavens. God put all those beautiful stars in there. God built all those planets into our solar system and other universes. And yet he is personal. That to me is a staggering thought. God can do all of that, and yet he is personal. Look, the sun keeps shining. The grass keeps growing. The flowers keep blooming. The trees keep budding, and the water keeps flowing. When you start counting as God suggested to Abraham, you soon reach the conclusion of endlessness. And when you stop counting, then you start relying on the grace of God. Start trying to count that grace. Start counting the grace of God. The creator of the universe is interested in man. He created all these things, and then the psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." Take count of that. Start thinking about that. Think about the grace of God. Think about how far God reaches and in whom he reaches, and it's beyond computation. Take a look and see what God has done to redeem man, if thou art able to number them. I want to challenge you today to come to the point where you stop counting and start trusting. That's what Abraham had to do. He looked at the stars. He looked at the heavens. He looked at the sand and the seashore. There was no way to count all that. He stopped counting and he started trusting, and God counted it to him for righteousness. That's what I want to challenge you to do today, is stop counting and start trusting. Don't try to think your problems are too big and how you're going to solve them all. Don't start counting the money in your checkbook to find out if you got enough money to pay your bills. Start trusting in God. Would you dare limit God's provision? Trust him and believe that his provision is big enough and secure enough for you. The creator of the universe is interested in you. He takes it that personal that he is interested in an individual. He is interested in you. He's not just the creator of mankind. He is the creator of each man and each woman. And he takes a personal interest in each one. Look to the heavens today. Look to the heavens. Yeah, you might demand, God, let me count. But soon you will find that you can't count. And you'll just have to start trusting. Number two, another place to look is look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. There comes times in my life when I need to take a personal inventory. Have I any idea what I could do with what God has given me? What wealth of knowledge I could gain by using these two eyes? What places I could go by using these two feet, these two legs? Can anyone count his or her potential? Can you really do that today? Can you count the potential of a life? George Washington Carver was kidnapped, sold at a slave auction, and later abandoned. He was a sickly child. He was too frail to do heavy field work. But he was awarded with medals, doctorates, citations, and every other kind of honor imaginable. The day of his death, January 5th, was later proclaimed George Washington Carver Day. At first, his life was of little or no value. When he was abandoned and found by Moses and Susan Carver, he was desperately ill with whooping cough, which became the reason why he was so desperately frail. But God loved him and brought him through trials, loneliness, and prejudice because he was able to rely and trust upon God. In God's estimation, you are worth more than the entire universe. So take a long, serious look at yourselves today. Take a long, hard look at yourself today. Have you realized your potential? Have you realized the possibilities wrapped up in your life? The plans, the ideas, the hopes, the aspirations, the vision that God has for you. Don't throw your potential away. Or don't waste it by not using it. Allow God to give you a vision of your potential and work in harmony with Him. Look toward the heavens. Look upward. Look inward. Look at yourselves. And number three today, look at the fields. Look outward. Look at the fields. John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There are many opportunities that come our way. There are opportunities in your life at this very moment. They are dazzling. Jesus invited this short guy to come down out of a tree one day, Zacchaeus. And he redirected Zacchaeus' gaze that had grown dull from counting money and selfish living. And suddenly the man from Jericho saw what he could do with his money and his advantage. And it lifted that little financial wizard of savings and loan into life and immortality. Look at the fields today. Look at the opportunities God has given you. Look upward. Look inward. Look outward. And the fourth look today, there are others, but this will be our final one. Look to Calvary. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. This is the greatest look of all. The look to Christ. The look to the cross. The look to Calvary. Try it. Try looking to Calvary today. Your guilt complex will vanish. Love is put so very simply at Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus speaks tender words like, come and look. We make it hard when we try to analyze why. Don't try to count it and figure out why. Come in simple childlike faith. Simply accept His invitation. Don't ask Him to change the water into wine. Drink. Faith will save you. You don't need to argue. You need to accept. Long words might never save you, but a short look can. Yes, there are some here today who may need to breathe just a simple prayer, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, help me to see so that I might be able to look.
The evidence is overwhelming. Look now toward heaven. Abraham did. You know what? The results are still found in the front pages of our newspapers today. Look. Look heavenward. Now I want to tell you what can happen after a personal Pentecost. After you've been filled by faith, after you've had a personal baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you what can happen to you. We find it with Peter and John. And a courageous step that Peter takes in Acts chapter 3 and verse 4. Peter said to the lame man, fastening his eyes upon him and John, they said, look on us. Look on us. So here's this man, he's laying lame at the gate. Peter and John come to him. Peter says, man, look on us. Look at us. Now the Holy Spirit instigates this. It's one of the greatest experiences of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the greatest experiences of a Spirit-filled life and somebody who's full of the Holy Spirit. I want you to realize today that God can activate so much of the eternal in the believer that the believer becomes a showcase for God. Look at us. Look at us. We want to show you God today. We want to display His power. This is God's high purpose for His body here on earth. That we would all be able to say to people without shamefacedness, without reservation, look on us. Look at me. What a marvelous challenge the Scriptures give us today. Paul took this cry throughout Asia and Europe. He absorbed attention everywhere that he went. All eyes were focused on Paul. In Ephesus, in Athens, in Jerusalem, and Rome. In fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 4:9, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. People look at us everywhere we go. People are looking at us. People are watching us. Paul said, we have become a spectacle to them. I've felt this. And I've witnessed it in my own life. And there is nothing quite like it in all the world. When people look to you for answers, and you have them. When people look to you for hope, and you have that hope within you. Christ, the hope of glory. There is nothing like that feeling in all the world. And I would challenge you to do whatever you have to do today to get into the place, to get into the position where you are so filled with the Spirit of God that you would be able to say to people, look at me. Look at me. I have an answer for you. I have a word of the Lord for you. I have a testimony I can share with you. Look at me. Can you do that today? Can you do that? Are you in a place today? Are you in that relationship with God? Are you so full of God's Spirit that you would be able to say that today to those that you come in contact with? Look at me. Look at us. That's what the Spirit-filled life will do for you. It's what it'll do for you. I hope that you desire that today. I hope you'll accept the challenge from the Lord today to get your heart in a place where you would be able to say to people, look at me. Some people are afraid to say that. Some people wouldn't dare to say that. They don't want people watching them. They don't want people scrutinizing their lifestyle. And yet, that's what Peter and John said. Sir, look at us. We want to show you the way. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Maybe one of these points have spoken to your heart today. Maybe you need to look heavenward. The problems are so big. But I want you to know His provision is big enough. God is bigger than your problems. Look at Him today. Just look and see how big He is.
breathe that prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I might see how big you are today, how small I am, and my problems are in comparison. I don't mean to minimize your problems at all. I just mean to magnify God today. Or maybe you're here today and you're feeling a little down on yourselves. I want you to know that you got incredible potential. Not in and of your own self, but you have potential because Christ is in you. You have potential today. Be willing to ask God what He can do with you. Get a vision of God's purpose and plan in your life. And then look at the fields. Is there somebody that the Holy Spirit's been prompting you to witness to? Have you neglected opportunities? Look at the fields. And then maybe there's somebody here today who's never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Would you look to Calvary today? Would you look to what Jesus accomplished on the cross? Would you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Would you look to Calvary today? And still finally, there might be those here. You've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the infilling, that would enable you to boldly say to people, look at me. Look at me. You fit in there somewhere today? Tell the Lord about it. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him what you desire. Make sure you're looking in the right places. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. In order to do that today, we want to help us. In order to help us do that today, we want to sing this chorus. Could we stand? First of all, if you need to look to the heavens, if you need to look to the Lord, literally do that today. Literally, just lift your face up to the heavens. Look to the Lord today. And the other thing is, if you came with burdens, just do this. Just do this today. And you know what? Then raise your hands. You don't have to, but I just want to encourage you today. There's something, freedom, that's why we do it. And you can't raise your hands with burdens. You wouldn't be able to get them up there. So especially if you've had a burden today, if you came with a burden, try to raise your hands as we sing it again. Let the burdens go. And by a raised hand, you'd be signifying, Lord, I'm letting go of those burdens. I'm putting them at your feet.
Lord, you take care of those now. I'll leave them here with you. If you want to come to the altar and do it, these altars are open. Sometimes it helps to have a place of point of contact. You could say, that day and that Sunday morning in Wilson, I went forward and I laid my burdens at the altar. I left them at the cross of Christ. If you want to do that today, please do. If you would like to have people pray for you for anything today, or if you'd like prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, say, Pastor, I want people to be able to look at me. I just invite you to come. Take advantage of your opportunities today. Let's sing it again. I will sing unto the Lord
a brand new song.
That we didn't talk about today is the look that the writer of Hebrews told us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you need some strength today, Jesus is the Lord. He's where the strength comes from. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Don't look down at the obstacles. Don't look at the road beneath your feet. Look at the finish line. Look at the author and finisher of your faith. Look at Jesus Christ. And you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it safely to the end. You'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I've run the race. I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Amen. Amen. Just keep looking up. Keep your chin up. God will bless you and God will lead you. Don't try to figure everything out. Stop counting. Start trusting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rich Lacey, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, we are so thankful today for your word. We're so thankful that your word is true. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your presence today. Thank you, Father, for your messenger of bringing us this word. Father, I pray for each one that's here today, Lord, as they've laid down those words, as they've asked you, they've reached out to you for strength in their life. Father, for healing to their bodies, Lord, you're a God that provides. And we thank you for the opportunity we have that we can be in your presence. And Father, we can reach out and touch you and never be the same in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.